Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
Hour number four of our show. Welcome back. I'm Bill Shanks with Russell Brown. We are live on location today at Dawson's Kitchen here on Brookdale Avenue in Macon, GA. Right off of Nine Mile Avenue, if you're coming back from downtown and want some supper for the family, come by and get a couple of plates to go. They got baked chicken, fried pork chops, beef tips on rice, collards, cabbage, squash casserole, mac and cheese, green beans, candied yams, dressing and gravy, and rice and gravy. They've also got a couple of pieces of chocolate cake up there that are pretty good. We hope you'll come by if you've never been to Dawson's. They've got a cafeteria-like setting here where they have meats and vegetables, and they also have salads. They have vegetable soup. They have fresh vegetables as well that they have put up where you can buy and take home if you'd like. Got a couple of watermelons just came in. I wonder how the watermelons are doing so far this year. About that time where we can find out here, coming up, getting a little warmer, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not a big watermelon guy.
Really?
I've never really.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know. I've never gotten into the watermelon. It doesn't have any flavor.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you got to put a lot of salt on it.
Yeah. Well?
What's wrong with that? I'm not a melon person. I don't eat cantaloupe or watermelon.
Cantaloupe, it's kind of. Yeah, the cantaloupe's all right. Watermelon, I love watermelon, though. It's really good. I'm from White Cross, would expect.
Yeah, the boy loves it. We always have to get a little one, though, because me and Lindsay don't really eat it.
Yeah, the one from Kroger. Containers from Kroger.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we get those. And then some places, like, you can find the little tiny watermelons.
Mm-hmm. I love watermelon. They got a couple here at Dawson's Kitchen, Brookdale Avenue in the Payne City area of Macon, right off of Vineville, near the railroad track in Macon, GA. Our phone lines are open. Area code 478-646-ESPN. We're 26 hours away. Is it 8:30 tomorrow? 8:30 or 8 o'clock?
I think it's 8:30. And then for the lottery. And then 9 o'clock for the game.
For the game. Oh, the heck with the game. Who cares?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
8:30 is the lottery. And then you'll have Portland and Golden State in game one of that series. But can't wait. We're excited about it. Looking forward to it. Had a great weekend in basketball, obviously, with the shot that will be. Toronto will never have a bigger shot, will they? That team will never have a bigger, better shot than what they had last night with Kawhi Leonard.
Unless they somehow win a championship on a memorable shot, which I don't see that happening. So yeah, that's probably as good as it's going to get. Toronto.
It was fun to watch. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thought it was great. Really, really enjoyed the game and did not watch the Portland-Denver game, but that last night with Philadelphia and Toronto was awfully fun. And they've got now Portland and Golden State and also Toronto and Milwaukee. Obviously, Milwaukee and Golden State are going to be the heavy favorites in this game, in these two series. I can't imagine Portland having a chance with Golden State. Of course, Kevin Durant's status is still going to be a big part of that discussion. I did have to admit, though, last night I'm sitting there. Of course, I am beyond excited about tomorrow and am having good thoughts. And anybody who's not having good thoughts about tomorrow doesn't need to call here, because the Hawks are going to get Zion Williamson tomorrow. I just feel it. But, you know, and this happened a couple of years ago, obviously, with the Paul Millsap, Al Horford bunch. To think about your team being in position of being in the conference finals, we knew they had no chance that year against Cleveland. My God, I think that was the first year that LeBron was back in Cleveland, wasn't it? I believe.
I think so, yep.
So there was no way in the world they were going to win that series. They got swept. It wasn't even close. None of them were close. But to think about this nucleus of talent now, adding a piece like a Zion Williamson or an R.J. Barrett or a John Morant, what that could mean to this team, and the possibility of... See, here's one thing I think people are not talking about. At some point, they're going to sign a big money free agent. Mm-hmm. Because like we were talking about with the Braves, where that money's going to go, where's the Hawks' money going to go? Even if you think, all right, they're going to have to sign Trae Young one day, and then if they get a star in this group, they're going to have to sign him. Right now, there's going to be a lot of money available. They're going to have the opportunity. And I've said that it's kind of similar to what happened when Joe Johnson took their money, to where someone's going to take that hook and bite on it and go for it. I just hope it's the right fit.
Yeah.
But that's going to happen at some point.
It is. And you know what? The other kind of caveat to tomorrow night, it's bigger than just Zion Williamson, because I think if you do get that number one pick, then the pool of players to choose from as far as who is going to take that money gets even bigger. I don't think there's any doubt about that, because it's going to be – I think the franchise has done a good job already of making Atlanta more attractive to free agents, and I think the Hawks are definitely more attractive to a free agent this offseason than they would have even been a year ago. But you throw a Zion Williamson into the mix that they already have, particularly with John Collins and Trae Young. I mean, people are going to be falling over themselves to sign with the Atlanta Hawks.
I did not go in the arena this year. You did. So you tell me, is the arena that much better now than it was before they made the changes?
I think so. I really do. I mean, because it's there's less, because you had like the wall of luxury boxes, right? And there were cookie cutter carbon copy luxury boxes. Now it's like there's different areas. I mean, you've got your regular seating bowl, but I mean, you've got luxury suites, but then you've got, you know, areas that are kind of like luxury suites, but not really. And then they've just added even more, which they called like the concert venue or something. They've even done more upgrades already. And yeah, I mean, you could definitely tell a difference in the arena.
And you think that would make a difference if someone came in to look at the team?
I think so. I mean, that, I don't know. I don't understand why. It's kind of like kids that pick colleges based off the uniforms, but they say it makes a difference. So, yeah.
I liked the arena before. I mean, I understand the need to readjust it.
I mean, it just feels more permanent. You know, it feels more like it doesn't. It still had the feel of the Hawks share this arena with another pro sports franchise. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that feel as much anymore.
So now it's like this is the Hawks' home.
Yeah, basically.
Well, that's a big difference then. That's a big I mean, you want to talk about a bad arena. The Omni was a bad arena. Phillips Arena in its prior configuration was nothing like the Omni. The Omni was a dump. I mean, I call it the ugly brown building on TV because it was an ugly brown building. Sort of was. And so, I'm glad if that can make a difference. And the thought of, it's all about money. You know, it's cash. Who's got the cash available? The Hawks have cash available. I'm not saying they're going to be able to go after Kevin Durant, but they ought to be able to ask for a meeting. And how great, how about this? Let's say Zion Williams. Let's say they get R.J. Barrett, who's one of the top three players, obviously. Let's say they move up, get R.J. Barrett, and there's R.J. Barrett, Trae Young, Kevin Herter, Omari Spellman, and Kevin Durant takes a meeting with them. And the rumor gets out that Kevin Durant had Atlanta in his top two. Could that even in itself have some positive implications moving forward to let people know Atlanta's serious? And that may sound stupid about, but not getting a free agent, letting it springboard into a positive persona for you. But when you're trying to remake your franchise, do you have any kind of choice but to have those kind of things to hang on to? I think you have to, don't you?
Oh, you do. I think the first real inclination to me that it was going to be different this time around was back in a little over a month ago. Brian Windhorst had a piece up on ESPN.com mm-hmm. specifically about the Atlanta Hawks, and not about a changing landscape of the NBA that the Hawks are a part of, or, you know, the Hawks are one example just like this. It wasn't anything like that. I mean, the headline was called Trae Young's Slow Build to Success, and it was a national story done on this Hawks team. I mean, when ever has a national writer written anything about the Atlanta Hawks outside of the years where they were going to the playoffs? And even then, you really didn't see it. Uh-uh. But it talks about Trae Young. It talks about the picks that they're going to get in the draft. It talks about the salary cap space. And he writes a compelling case to top free agents such as Kevin Durant. If you don't have the Hawks on your list of free agent destinations, please see above and reconsider. So, I mean, I think that was really the first telltale sign to me that, yeah, they are going to be more attractive. And if Kevin Durant comes and talks to him, I think that does make a difference, because it's not that you're going to have the immediate impact of Kevin Durant signed with the Atlanta Hawks, but what you're going to have is people take note of something that would not have happened in the past. Kevin Durant wasn't going to sit down with the Atlanta Hawks a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
You almost have to compare it to when Reggie White signed with Green Bay, and there was like, wow, he went to Green Bay. And that may be a very drastic comparison, but you're talking about a franchise that's been pretty irrelevant. Like at that point when Reggie White left Philadelphia for Green Bay, the Packers were at that time. Nobody thought about the damn Packers. Are you kidding? When I was a child, Bart Starr was the coach. Not the quarterback. He was the coach. You know, then all of a sudden I had to realize that, oh, yeah, he actually was a player for Green Bay. He was pretty good. But that's how irrelevant they were. Then, you know, really, when Reggie White, you can talk about the trade from Atlanta with Mr. Favre, but when Reggie White went from Philadelphia to Green Bay, that legitimized that Packer franchise. And in a way, the Hawks are going to have to look for that kind of player as well. Now, my hope is if they have some luck tomorrow, it's going to be easy. They're going to be lining up to come here. And you know, you got to be very careful about that, because when you're dealing with those kind of free agents, you're also dealing with big egos. And you don't want some Kyrie Irving to come here. You'd be crazy not to want Kevin Durant to come here. I don't care what happened with him in Golden State. But there are personalities and egos that you have to really siphon through and try to filter through. Because I think there's going to be people that you just wouldn't want, no matter how much money you have available. You're going to say, no, that's not the way we fit our team. Kyrie Irving being at the top of the list, which thank God we don't need a point guard. But I wouldn't. He'd have to pay me to come have him on my team. Way when that thing happened in Boston. Are you kidding? I wouldn't want him ever on my team.
No, because it's going to upset the apple cart.
Absolutely.
I mean, they you want to be able to build off of what they've already done. I don't think Kyrie's that player. I don't think LeBron James is that player anymore either. After that dumpster fire in L.A., I mean, 34.
You think
they're
years. Really? You think there is this just fan talk about trading?
I think they'd be stupid not to consider it. I'm not saying they should, and I don't know what you would get for him. I mean, obviously you get a lot, but, I mean, the players on the team don't look up to him. They look up to Rajon Rondo.
Golly, that's Luke, amazing.
I mean, they had a hard time finding a coach because I don't think guys want to play with him, and I don't think people want to coach him.
And my question is, why didn't they just give Jason Kidd that head coaching job if Jason Kidd being on whomever staff was so damn important? Just give the job to Kidd. He's been a head coach in New Jersey and Milwaukee.
He'll take it eventually anyway, so I don't know.
But that weird, though?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, we've got to have Jason Kidd on the staff. Just hire Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd's got more years probably as a head coach or as much. Can't be much more than Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
Vogel's in Indiana and Orlando, and it can't be many more. I guarantee you that he's got less years than Kidd does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, Luke Walton said no thank you. Magic Johnson said no thank you. And you don't hear the Lakers is a destination for free agents. If Klay Thompson leaves Golden State, he's going to the Clippers. I mean, I don't think people want to be there.
Wow, it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. It's crazy. Rob on Twitter, no chance I make that deal. Keep Tukey. If you're going to keep Tukey Toussaint, who can't even get people out in AAA, because you don't want to include him in a deal for Madison Bumgarner, you're crazy. Tukey Toussaint can't get people out right now in AAA, much less in Atlanta. So, really? You're going to keep that, let him get in the way of that? Oh, he's got great potential. At some point, you have to be like Sorokin Freed and show us the potential. All right, the other big news today in the NBA is really a surprise. John Beilein is leaving Michigan to become the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavs had Tyronn Lue, who we were talking about a moment ago. Then they had Larry Drew. Now, John Beilein is going to come in their opinion, hopefully have someone that he can work with, like a Zion Williamson or an R.J. Barrett, maybe a John Morant. And have a nucleus around the players they still have, like Kevin Love and Colin Sexton, who they drafted a year ago. Tristan Thompson still on this team. Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, those two they got in the deal with the Lakers. And that is a big deal. And, boy, who's Michigan going to bring in on May 13th? They are – what do you do?
Tom Crean? I don't know.
That is a –
I'm just kidding.
Thanks. Thanks, Russ.
I'm just messing with
killing
you.
Killing me.
Trolling you on your own show.
You are.
I ought to be ashamed.
My gosh. Bring in the top class ever, and you're going to take you to Michigan.
Oh, we want our lease. We want to fall into Michigan. Thanks a lot.
Well, I tell you what, if it had been 2 months ago, he might have taken that job. I mean, my God, he's been to Marquette before and been in Indiana, so he ain't too far off, is he? But who are they going to get?
I have no idea. That's a good job, too.
Oh, my gosh.
So it'll be really interesting. I don't even – I can't even begin to fathom where you go.
Coach Weber available? Coach Rose available, maybe? Just bringing the Fab Five to coach them?
That'd be awesome. Man, that's – but seriously, I don't know. I mean
– at this point in the calendar, it's hard to even think of who they could – I mean, they're gonna have to go after somebody else in the little program.
You've got your vagabond coaches, your you know not Calipari, Patinos of the world out there.
Golly, would they think about that?
I hope not. I certainly hope not.
What about Rick Barnes? He almost went for UCLA.
Yeah, and I mean,
there was some reason why he didn't go to UCLA. What was it? Remember that?
Yeah,
was it a guarantee or something?
He just flat out.
Oh no, it was the buyout. I think they didn't buy out. They didn't want to buy out that contract from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Didn't he say if they'd have done that, he'd have gone to UCLA?
Yeah.
So it's not like he's tied to Knoxville.
No. He said point blank, if they had have done that, he would be at UCLA, period.
Which is a horrible thing for him to say. If I was a Tennessee fan, after I put my teeth back in, I'd be pissed.
But I did appreciate the honesty, because you just don't get honesty like that anymore.
But I mean, seriously, if you're a Tennessee fan, you're like, screw you.
Yeah.
Well, that's almost the equivalent of Jim Mora Jr. saying, boy, I sure would love to go coach Washington.
Exactly what it was, yep.
Which, I mean.
Only Rick Barnes is a good coach. That's the difference.
Yeah. Jim Mora Jr. What a freaking loser he is. Is he on that new Fox Morning College football show? Is he part of that thing?
I don't watch those things.
No, I mean, it's, you know, they did the unveil today for the it's Pretty Boy Matt Leinart, Pretty Boy Brady Quinn from Notre Dame, and
I'll be sure to check that one out.
I don't know if Moore is going to be on that or not.
I'll take the old man putting on the mascot head.
No kidding. All right, we're at Dawson's Kitchen. We invite you to come now for a little supper. They've got great food today: baked chicken, fried pork chops, what's left of them, beef tips on rice, collard greens, cabbage, squash casserole, mac and cheese, green beans, candied yams, dressing, and rice. They've got great desserts as well, and tomorrow they've got more great food on the menu. Go to DawsonsKitchen.com for more information, including a look at the daily menus and, of course, all the items they have available for you here, right off of Vineville Avenue near the railroad track on Brookdale Avenue in Macon. Braves are off tonight. Open a 3-game set with the Cardinals tomorrow night. We'll take a break, come back, look back on the weekend in Phoenix. That and more as we continue right after this.